the battle at the gate. And there's a scripture I'm going to get to in a minute. It's going to be our foundational scripture. And I believe this is just really an important season in our lives. Now, you may have been saved for many years. You may have been saved just very recently. John's not here. Fantastic. Corrine. Why did I even start this conversation? Corrine, you've been saved, what, less than 2 months?
Yeah.
About 2 months. So whether you've been saved for so many decades or just recently, what you're about to hear this morning should have such an influence upon your journey moving forward. Because I believe that we're entering... look at the news. I tell you, look at the news since the beginning of this year. And we are, if the Bible was right, we're in such turbulent times. You have America taking hold of, I think it's 5 ships now, under Russian flags. That's quite a thing to do. If you've been in the Navy or you've been in maritime, to take over a ship that is carrying a Russian flag, you don't do every day of the week. Well, it's happened 5 times in less than a month. You don't go into a nation, abduct, take prisoner a prime minister or a leader of a nation and take them back to your nation. The consequences of that are significant. The fact that Syria yesterday or the day before was bombed by the US, the fact of what's happening in Iran at the moment with the uprising of people once again, if the Bible talks about we live in troubled times or turbulent days, I think we are living in those moments. And it doesn't take a genius to work that one out. If you're alive, you can think, you can look and see a lot of things are happening that aren't normal. Now, that's not to say that we're at the end of the age and it's all going to happen in the next 3 months and we're going to go back to heaven or go to heaven. It's going to be all hunky-dory. But what it does mean is that the church needs to step up and pray. If ever there was a time, you can go back to the time when Jesus walked the earth and the first apostles and as they were going out and the persecution of the church and all that was taking place at that time, what did the church do? They prayed. They didn't pray, Lord, come and take us home. They prayed that there would be the extension of the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. We need to rise up and pray. Now, prayer may not be your forte. You may say, well, I'm a worshiper. Okay, yeah, I love worship too. I may be a person of the word. Great, fantastic. But I tell you what, we need to know how to pray. We need to know how to pray for ourselves. We need to know how to pray for our family. We need to pray for the lost. We need to know how to pray against the wiles of the enemy. Because we live in a day and age where our children will be taken from under our feet and we didn't know how they suddenly were no longer in church. But all of a sudden, the work of the enemy is taking lives away. Sobering thought, yes. But I'll tell you what, I wouldn't be a pastor if I didn't give you truth. And I'm going to have to share truth and just stir up within you. A new year brings lots of new decisions, doesn't it? I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to be more prayerful. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be that. I'm going to do... Do you know what? A new year is also... It's like an entrance portal. What happened in 2025 happened in 2025, and some of those things still may be rumbling in your today. But I tell you, 2026 is like there's an entrance of all that comes our way this year. And how we treat a beginning of the year could influence, potentially influence, what we allow into our home, what we allow into our heart, what we allow into into society as a whole. The Bible is very clear. Let the redeemed of the Lord. So we know the scripture, don't we? If we are not saying certain things over our life, then other things will begin to influence. You are the greatest prophet that will ever prophesy over your life. Because I can speak certain things over your life and you'll hear it, but you won't necessarily believe it. But if you start speaking it over your life, you begin to believe it far quicker. This new year is an entrance portal to what will come our way. I love the fact that Emma this morning said, Lord, you know, use that scripture in Genesis chapter 22. Lord, bless us. See, to be blessed is something that, it's our right position to be blessed. We are a blessed people. We are a blessed congregation. We are blessed by God in who we are. He wants us to be a blessed people. We are above only and not beneath. We are the head and not the toe. That's part of the blessing. You go back to Genesis, Deuteronomy chapter 28. It's the blessing of God upon his people. We are blessed. But we all face battles. What is the battle that you faced last year that is still influencing your heart, your family, your life? What is the battle from last year that is still affecting this year? See, some people in the room, you've been battling illness. 2026 didn't change that illness, and it's come through the portal to the next year. You're still carrying that sickness in your body. But it's still an ongoing battle. For others, did I see Eddie? Eddie. Good to see you, Eddie. Nice to have you home. Fantastic. Sorry. It's just good to see. At least I got your name right. Anyway. Jane reminded me the other day, Jeff, stop saying, I don't remember. Because I don't want 2025 of, I can't remember, to come through into my 2026. The memory of the righteous is blessed. Everybody over the age of 50 should be declaring that over your mind, that the memory of the righteous is blessed. What battles are you carrying? Maybe you've had a family feud that's been going on in 2025, 2024, and it's still rumbling on in 2026. When are we going to get fed up with it? When are we going to say enough's enough? It's pulling me down. It weighs heavy on my heart. It robs something from my life. Maybe it's a financial thing. You took out a debt. You bought a house that was beyond your means. You bought a car, and it's just a problem now trying to pay the payments, and it's like a weight. We all face battles that are filtered through to another year. Your battle may be, you face battles of insecurity, battles of worry, battles within your health, battles within relationships, emotional battles, battles with life as a whole, work-life battles, battles with sin and temptation, battles with life-controlling habits, battles of the mind, battles within the soul, battles within yourself to do the right thing rather than the easy thing. I want to let you know, spiritual battles in an unseen realm are real. They are so real. What is holding you back from living full on for God? That's a great question you asked yourself this morning. What is holding me back from living a life that is sold out, full on, all to Jesus? What holds you back? What holds you back? And I'm not expecting everyone to start running around the church, but what holds you back from the joy of your salvation where you just want to express it and run around the church just thanking God during praise and worship? What is it? Insecurity? Is it personality? I don't, if it's a personality thing, that's just, that's you, it's who you are. But if there's a burning desire to lift your hands and yet you won't, if there's a burning desire to share your faith but you don't, there is something holding you back. It's a battle for your soul. It's a battle for what God wants to do in your life. Spiritual battles are real. We read this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood. Which shows to me there is a spiritual realm. We know very clearly that the spiritual realm, the realm where God is more real than the natural realm in which we live. It was the spiritual realm that created the natural realm. So therefore, the spiritual realm is the superior realm. We live in this natural realm which God created. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was out form and void, and God spoke, and God spoke, and God spoke. See, this is how creative words happen, by using your mouth, and God spoke, and God spoke. But the weapons, this scripture here, the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty. The weapons we have are mighty. Come on. Prayer is not just saying, Lord, bless my food. I sanctify it by your word and prayer in the name of Jesus, amen. It's not just a religious routine of blessing the food. I'll tell you what, if you're not blessing your food, you are living in a realm of the natural. You go and have a look at the rubbish that's in the food that we eat, and you would very quickly start to pray over your food. And where in Timothy, I believe it's Timothy, it speaks about praying over your food with the word and sanctifying it. I'll tell you what, I believe in a supernatural transformation of the food that I eat. Not because Jane's not a good cook, she is, but because of the junk that's in it. And the Bible's very clear that we are to do this in the last days. Because in the earlier days, they still sanctified it because it was offered to idols. These days, it's got all the chemicals in it. Anyway, I'm not going to go down that line, but our weapons are mighty. How many of you believe that prayer is mighty? A mighty weapon. Now, I could ask you for a very honest hands up. Who prays as if you're carrying a weapon on a regular basis and you go into prayer? I'm not asking for hands up. But doesn't that just show something? Because if it's a mighty weapon and yet we leave it to the side and we don't really engage with it, are we really recognizing that this is a spiritual weapon? Okay, let me finish the scripture, because I could preach here and there, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and the destruction of strongholds. There are strongholds that the enemy wants to bring in your life. One of those, I believe, in the last days is confusion. Confusing the saints. Confusion about the spiritual or the natural. If he can confuse God's people. See, God confused the work of the enemy when he divided the tongues when they built Babel. So the enemy looked at that and thought, if he can confuse the church, they won't be powerful. They won't work together. They won't pray together. They won't stand together. They won't believe. I believe confusion is one of his traits in these days. I'm going to read this from three other versions. It says, our weapons have power from God and can destroy the enemy's strong places. In other words, prayer, taking up the word of God and praying the word of God, destroys the strong places of the enemy. My weapons have the power of God. My weapons, prayer and his word have the power from God to destroy the enemy's strong places. My weapons have the power of God to destroy the camps of the enemy. Last scripture is this one. The weapons of the war we're fighting are not of this world, but they are powered by God and effective at tearing down the strongholds erected against his truth. So, my encouragement to each one of us today is, let's learn to pray. Let's not just pray, Lord, bless me and keep me. Make your face shine upon me. It's a great prayer to pray, but let's just not be gentle, nicey-nicey. The weapons of our warfare are for pulling down strongholds of the enemy. You don't go to your enemy as nicey-nicey, gently-gently, do you? You know, the school bully. You don't go up to the school bully and say, oh, please be nice to me. You kick him in the shins and then knee him in the face. It's... Come on, let's be real. And the enemy of our soul, we don't go nicey-nicey, gently-gently. We want to kick him in the shins and knee him in the face. We just want to do damage to the enemy's kingdom. Because he's doing enough to ours. He's doing enough in your family. He's doing enough in your kids. He's doing enough in the society in which we're living. It's time for us to stand up and take the weapons of our warfare seriously. So are you fed up with taking a beating? Are you fed up with trying to overcome something but never being able to overcome it? Come on, there's enough sin in this room. Oh, don't you say that. Yes, there is. There's enough sin in this room because whatever isn't of faith is sin. Okay? There's enough sin in this room that is not being overcome. You know you, I know me. But the weapons of our warfare are mighty in God for pulling down those strongholds that come against us. Those areas that we try and break through, but they always seem bigger than us. Anybody ever experienced that? I'm going to beat this thing this year. And before long, you know you're being beaten again. Are you fed up with seeing yourself beneath rather than above? In that case, it's time to pray. All right? It's time to be a prayer in the house of God. I think it was Kerwin, you shared this last week. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, be sober. Be alert. It doesn't mean don't be drunk. It says be sober, be vigilant and aware. Your adversary walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. If you watch David Attenborough or any other sort of nature programs, and you've got a wolf or you've got a pack of hyenas or whatever, they will go hunting for the weak, the young, or the old. The weak, the isolated. Because what they'll do, they will cut them off from the pack. We are the pack. Together we are stronger. But if the enemy can cause you to offense, I'm not going to church anymore. I don't like that person. I'm not going to their connect group anymore. If he can cut you off from the pack, he will isolate you. You become vulnerable. You're an easy target. He is going around like a roaring lion, seeking. Actually, he is stalking you. I'm not saying this to frighten anyone, but he is stalking you, looking and watching and waiting to cause you to go to the side for the one purpose, steal, kill, and destroy. That is all the enemy wants to do in our life. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. But the enemy has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It is pack mentality is vital. Anyone agree? This is the pack. Oh yeah, there's another church down the road. That's their pack. You know, but we're a pack. We run together. We defend each other. We protect each other. We pray for one another. The adversary of our life is not sleeping. Whereas many Christians are asleep. Just ask yourself this week, 7 days this week, I've had opportunity from Sunday last week to Sunday to today to be a prayer and to pray. Where would, no hands up, no shouting out, but where would you rate your prayer life out of 10 this week? Sobering. It's a sobering thought. If the enemy is out to destroy my family, have I really prayed? When my kids go out the door to go off to school, in other words, they've gone to the lion's den. Come on, let's be real about this. Schools, universities are very much like the lion's den. They're good places for education, but they're a horrendous place for socialization and peer pressure and even some of the stuff they taught. Have you prayed for your child as they enter the lion's den? This is I'm talking real stuff here. Because if we don't wake up and really sense the power of this, we'll never pray over our kids. We'll just send them to school. Oh, it's just going off to school. We're just sending them off to their clubs, whatever clubs they go to. We don't know what they do at club. They just do gym or whatever they do. But I tell you what, every time they're out of your sight, they're in the care of somebody else. They're having an influence upon their life. Oh, they've just gone to their friends around the corner. Yes, they may have done, but do you know what their friend's house is like? Do you know what their parents are into? Do you know what they watch on the TV when you're not there? I tell you, this is spiritually important in the journey of our life. Because the enemy is stealing our purpose, our calling, and our potential. In every one of our lives, when we are not advancing, please don't think you're treading water and staying where you are. It's a lie of the enemy. If you are not advancing in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of God, it's like a river. Christianity is like a river, and we are paddling upstream. True? We go against everything this world says is right, or we just look at the Word of God and we say, that's not right, and we paddle upstream. The moment you stop paddling, you start going back downstream. Come on, it's true. If we don't paddle, the stream will take us back. We just need to keep paddling in our canoe. That could be a family canoe. We had an 8-man canoe. We just had to keep paddling. You may be a single person. Just keep paddling. Whatever it is in your life, if you have got unsaved family, just keep paddling and believing that God is moving upon their life. If you've got needs, just keep paddling. Just don't lift up the paddle and allow the current to cause you to drift. It's time to turn back the battle at the gate. This is our key scripture. Isaiah 28 verse 6 says this: "For a spirit of justice to him who sits in judgment, and for strength to those who turn back the battle at the gate." Come on, the key here is we need strength in the day in which we live. The Bible's very clear. The joy of the Lord is our strength. If the enemy can steal your joy, he steals your strength. And here it says, and for strength, God, in the midst of what we're battling through, in the midst of these things that come at the gate of our life, we need strength to turn back the battle at the gate. Sin and temptation come knocking at the door of your heart, which is the gate to your life. When sin and temptation come, we need strength to turn back the battle at the gate of our heart. It's so important. The ear gate, what you hear. The eye gate, what you see. The mouth gate, what you say. The feeling gate, this is what I feel. The five senses are gateways into our lives. And we are to stand at the gate of our own life and turn back the battle. But very often what we do is, well, no one will know. And we open up the gate and we allow the work of the enemy to come in. Come on. It's time to stand at the gate of our life and say, I've had enough. Time up. I'm going to protect the gateways of my life, what I hear, what I see, what I feel, what I sense, those areas of my life. I'm just standing at the gate of my life, and I'm going to see this turn for good. So how can we do it? Three things I'm going to give you this morning. I don't know what time it is. Three things. Let me move quickly. I'll tell you what, we need church to end more like 12:30, 1 o'clock, but... So three things I want to share, which will begin to enable you to turn the battle at the gate. First one is repentance. If you are going to begin to see things turn at the gate of your life, first thing we need to do is repent. God, I'm sorry. Truly sorry. Not just, oh, I'm sorry, Lord. But we turn around and do the same thing again. Repentance is, I was heading this way, I realize the mistake of my life, and we turn 180 degrees. We don't keep on going back here and say, okay, I'll do it again. We turn, we repent, we walk the other way. It's not about living a half-hearted life. If I can stir up anything in this room this morning, it is living full on for Jesus, all right? Living full on for him. I saw this definition of a half-hearted spiritual life. It goes like this. A half-hearted spiritual life means divided commitments. Come on, let that one settle in your life. Do you have divided commitments in your life? Well, I do this for God this week, this day, this weekend, and I do that another weekend or another day. See, divided commitments shows a half-hearted spiritual life. It means we have divided commitments. A lack of genuine dedication leading to spiritual stagnation. This is what I've read. Lukewarmness and moral compromise are often characterized by outward compliance without inner transformation. Lukewarmness or moral compromise are characterized by outward compliance. Oh, it doesn't really matter. I do this and I do that. I don't. But actually, there's no inner transformation. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says this. If, and that goes for every one of us in this room. If, it's almost like there's a choice. You can, if you want to, you can, you should do, but if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, Father, forgive me. I've blown it. I've made this mistake. I've gone this way. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then... See, there is a condition. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Now, I don't know whether that's talking about all of the land or my land, my what they call it, DNA footprint. Wherever I go, he will heal the land in my life, in my part of my journey. Because the responsibility is if I humble myself, if I pray, if I will hear his voice, it's all about me, then he will hear, then he will move, and then he will bless. I'll tell you what, the first thing we need to do is humble ourselves before God. I am so sorry that I've not lived the way in which you want me to. What is the way he wants us to? All to Jesus, I surrender. All to him, I freely give. I surrender all. There is some in this room, you say, yeah, it sounds good, but that's not for me. It doesn't fit my life. It doesn't fit my lifestyle. Then you've not understood the power of prayer and the fact that we're in a spiritual battle. And the enemy is contending for your soul. Second point is this. If we're going to take our Christianity or Christian life seriously, we need to grow spiritually and deepen our connection with God. We want to be spiritually strong. You can go down the gym, beginning of the year, oh, I'm going to do all the exercise, I'm going to work out and all the rest of it. But when the rubber hits the road, will you still be in the gym come March? Most people who make that decision to go to the gym at the beginning of a year aren't in the gym 3 months later. And the truth will also go for us as Christians. Oh, I'm going to pray more until Wednesday. Wednesday comes and we've forgotten what I've spoken on Monday, on Sunday. It's come, it's gone, it's another word, it's another Sunday. But hopefully I'm stirring something within us this morning that's going to fire us up on the inside and say, I'm going to take my journey with God stronger and deeper, because we are in a spiritual battle every day of our life. It doesn't just happen on a Sunday or a Monday. It's every day. There are opportunities where the enemy's going to come in and attack in a particular way. The Bible is very clear. And by the Holy Spirit, Paul pens down some incredible words that reveal the battle that we're in. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And Paul has just written so many incredible things to the church in Ephesus. And here he's finishing it off and he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Again, if you were to rate your strength in God this morning, 1 being the weakest, 10 being the strongest, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, where would you say, oh, this is where I am? You may be a 2 or a 3 because you're not feeding on God's word. You're not living out every day your spiritual commitment in living a spirit-filled life. And then come Sunday, you're like, oh, I just want to press into God. I want to know him more. But it has to be 7 days a week, not just 1 day a week. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It is in our putting on the armor of God that we're able to stand. You may feel that you're able to stand against the wiles of the enemy in yourself, and therefore you... Well, I'm just challenging, right? When was the last time you acknowledged you walk with the armor of God in your life? Oh, that could have been, the last time I heard that preached in church would have been 2014. That's a long time to be walking around naked. Come on, when was the last time you actually said, Lord God, I'm going to put on the belt of truth. I'm going to put on the breastplate of righteousness. I'm going to have my head with the helmet of salvation. I'm going to put the gospel of peace on my feet. I'm going to take the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. When was the last time? We're in a spiritual battle and we're running around the battlefield naked, spiritually vulnerable. I wrote on the men's group this week, wake up the mighty men. I don't know how many people even read it any longer. I got 3 responses to, did you pray this over your life? If that's the response, that there are only 3 people that actually read and prayed that prayer over their life, what on earth are we doing, church? We are on a battlefield. You face it every day of your life, 24 hours of a day, and we're running around vulnerable on the battlefield of life. Let me carry on reading. We put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Four areas. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but number one, against principalities. We are warring against principalities. Can't feel them, can't see them, but I tell you what, they're scheming, they're planning against your life. Number one, principalities. Number two, against powers. Number three, against the rulers of darkness of this age. And number four, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. There are four enemies that are coming against us in a realm that we cannot see. Right now, can you see the radio waves of my mic? They're working because you can hear me. If I turned on my phone, you would hear a ping and a ring and a whatever else because people are contacting me. But you can't hear because I turned it off. You can't see TV waves, whatever they are, when you're at home. You can't see microwaves when you put your quick fast food dinner in the oven, but it's happening. You put a piece of metal in there and you'll see it, but you're not meant to. Right now in this room, there are principalities, there are powers, there are the spiritual hosts of wickedness and those who have come against you in life. They don't stay at the door and say, I'm not coming in there. They will cause you to get offended at something I say. They will cause you to get upset with somebody else in the room. They will turn around, they will whisper in your heart, in your ear, whatever they want to that's going to cause you to be distracted. Then you may be sitting there and you're thinking of dinner, you're thinking of moving house, you may be thinking of something else, and all these things are buzzing around your head, and yet you're not hearing what God's word says. I tell you what, we mean, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the enemy, is seeking whom he may devour. Let me read this full scripture. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, for this reason, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore. There's a lot of standing going on, isn't there? Because that is what every believer in this room needs to do. I'm standing and I will not move. This is what I believe. I will not be shaken. We make a stand. We dig in like the tug of war. We dig in. We say now, pull! Because this is a spiritual battle. And if you're not pulling, you're letting someone else do twice as much. The Romans had their shield above their head. It was called the turtle. Turtle? It was called the turtle stance. And every person had an interlocking shield where they walked together in unison, walking in. That's the unity of the church together. We've got to have the interlocking, the facing of the enemy together in our lives. And do you know what? I heard this week. As they went to battle in the turtle formation, they didn't have an Alan next to me and a Ken next to me and a Dan next to me. Because if I didn't particularly like Alan or Dan, or it's like, okay, ooh, I'm going to move over here just in case it hits me. It would have been my dad. It would have been my brother, Pete, Andy. It would have been my sons. And I tell you what, I'd let nothing come near any of them. Look around this room. We're not foreigners in this room. We're family. Different cultures, yes. Juliet, mum and dad, family. Jonathan, Juliet, family. We're different cultures, absolutely. But hey, I'm not going to move out of the way so that you get hit. This is so powerful. We got to dig in, take our stance, and pull together. Let me just finish this scripture, because I'm going to finish with this scripture. There is another area. There was 3 points. I'm not going to get to it today. It says, verse 13, Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. God's word is absolute. If anything ever comes against God's word, it is a falsehood. God's word stands. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He made male and female. Like it or lump it, there's only two genders that God ever created. And we are not going to change because of society in which we live. Man should marry woman, and woman should marry man. That's God's order. And that is our stance as a church. Having therefore stood, having girded your waist with truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness. What is that? It's our true identity in Christ. We have his righteousness upon our life. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, okay, these are great things, but above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying. It didn't finish with that. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Wake up, the mighty man. Wake up, the mighty lady. We are in the battle for our life. And this world shows me that it is out of control. Nobody really has a good grip on the nation. If China went to war with the world, China are in such a strong position. You read the book of Revelation, you got the bear and the lion. You got the, I'd say Russia and China are positioning themselves. China specifically are positioning. If anybody saw Red Square Day or whatever they call it, May Day, in China this year, it was scary in the natural. And they are preparing to take over and take Israel. The nations of this earth are positioning for the second coming of Jesus. Because certain things need to take place before he comes back. But I tell you what, before the second coming comes the rapture. And nobody knows the moment or the time. Oh yeah, there's going to be signs and seasons, and we're going to see things happening. And it's like, wow, the second coming is coming close. But the rapture, like a twinkle of an eye, like a blink of an eye, he takes us out, and nobody knew the moment he was coming. He's going to come like a thief. That is so exciting. And he's going to call his people away. I'll tell you what, do not let fear reign in your heart, but rise up in faith, knowing this is spiritual truth. This is just so important for every one of us in the time we live. I feel quite exhausted. Anyway, let's pray. Father, right across this room this morning, I thank you, Lord, that your word has gone out. Lord, I come against fear in the name of Jesus. And for those that perhaps are new to this, and it's all a little bit confusing, Father, I pray that you'll reveal spiritual truth to them. But Lord, for those that are in this room that don't know you, don't have a personal relationship with you, Lord God, we pray for them right now. Lord, that they would perceive truth. I'm just going to pray a very simple prayer. I want you to join with me as we pray. Pray it nice and loud, perhaps helping someone in this room that's never prayed it before. Lord God, I come to you today. I hear what you're saying. And Jesus, I believe you died on the cross 2,000 years ago. But you did it for me. I receive you in my life. I accept your truth. And I want you to be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. While every head is bowed, every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer this morning, this could be a turning point in your life. I'm going to count to three. I'm going to ask you, if you prayed it and you genuinely mean it, I want you to put up your hand. One, two, three. If you prayed it, just give me a wave. Thank you. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Three people that I can see. If there's anybody else in the room, five people put up their hand. Okay. Praise God. Father, I thank you for the heart responses of those in this room today. And Lord, I pray that even though the enemy would want to come and steal away the seed that has been sown, Father, I pray protection over that seed today. And Lord, we thank you for harvest of souls. Lord, speak into all our hearts, Lord God. Let your presence come alive in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. For those who have responded this morning, we have a Bible, we have some information we'd like to give you, and we want to help you on this journey. Absolutely amazing. And let's just give God thanks for those who have responded this morning. Amen.